I'm Liz Sauer, and this is Ghosts in the Burbs, a podcast about the people of Wellesley, Massachusetts, and the ghosts and monsters who haunt them. A warning. Adults who use adult language tell me these frightening tales. These ghost stories aren't for kids. Let's get right into it. We're on to ghost story number 76, Excessive Coffee. Life is funny. One minute you're banishing a demon from your youngest daughter's bedroom, the next you're vacuuming up dust bunnies in the living room preparing for a PTO coffee. I'd offered to host the auction kickoff meeting in an attempt to lure more volunteers to the effort. I enjoy hosting get-togethers. Well, that's not accurate. I enjoy preparing to host get-togethers. I like picking out the treats I'll serve and the platters I'll arrange them on, and I like cleaning the house and karate chopping the pillows and arranging flowers and getting everything just so. And then, honestly, I'd love to be able to greet the guests, get them settled, and then offer a pleasant, "Have a great time, don't worry about cleaning up when you're done, enjoy," and walk out of my house and treat myself to a coffee and scone and some uninterrupted time with a paperback cozy mystery. Alas, people would think that was weird, and so the suggestions of my social anxiety were foiled again. I like people. I like the people I've met and built relationship with at the girls' school. It's just that the little voice in my brain is quite convincing in all its reasons that there is no chance those people could possibly share the sentiment. So I do my best to ignore it. Of course, I would have canceled the PTO coffee if I thought there was any chance, no matter how slim, that the women I'd invited over would be in danger. But the demon was gone. Completely gone. Judith showed up as promised the morning after and confirmed as much. Kat and I were in an ongoing conversation about strangers and safety. I was stressed to the fucking max. The move loomed on the horizon. We found someone to buy our house, and we finally had an offer accepted on a cute cape close to our old neighborhood. My writing, as usual, took a backseat to everything else, and the world in general was becoming increasingly terrifying, unpredictable, and heartbreaking. I'd made a commitment to myself to turn back the final draft of the book by January 1st. It was the beginning of February. So I volunteered to host a PTO coffee, and I was grateful to do it. It was a task I could handle. Clean the house, get pastries and coffee, arrange some hydrangeas. I wanted to pretend, if only for a morning, that my life was one filled with normal tasks, of checking things cleanly off a to-do list, of concrete, straightforward, everyday mundane, demon-free chores. "You're the one who says she can see ghosts." I felt my face arrange itself into a tight smile. I didn't know the woman, and I didn't recognize her, though that isn't saying much. As I've mentioned before, I have a touch of the facial blindness, but still, she wasn't even a smidge familiar. "That's me," I said, exchanging a glance with my friend Margot. The meeting had wrapped up. Everyone was finishing up their Dunkin' Donuts coffee and treating themselves to one more Cabrata cinnamon bun. "Are there any here with us now?" the woman asked. "Nope," I replied, earning a disapproving snort from Claire. "Huh, I'd go to a shrink's office if I started seeing ghosts." "I tried. They couldn't do anything about it," I replied, wiping crumbs off the counter into my cupped hand. "That's kind of rude," Margot piped up. "Oh, sorry. I mean, I did go." "Not you," Margot said. "The word shrink. It's diminishing." Well, we can't really say anything anymore without someone getting offended," the woman scoffed. "I can't really remember a time when you could say offensive things and not offend people," Margot replied without missing a beat. "I'm just saying," the woman I didn't know said defensively, "if I started seeing things, I'd be worried I was going crazy." "I worry about that all the time and I don't see ghosts," another woman said, her forced laughter a hint that she was trying to lighten the mood. "Words matter," Margot pressed on, undeterred. "Therapy can be life-saving. Speaking of it in outdated, judgmental ways deters people from seeking help." "So now I'm killing people," the woman scoffed. "No one is killing anyone," I spoke up. "Who wants to bring home these extra scones? I have Ziploc bags." The woman, who I probably still couldn't pick out of a lineup, left shortly after and the mood lightened. I chatted with a couple friends and was winding down when Jenny Blight approached me. I knew her in passing, and only then from her contributions to the monthly walk, ride, and roll to school mornings. I don't know how I never put it together that you were the one who interviews people in town about their hauntings, she said, as I dumped a handful of mini scones into a bag. Guilty, I joked. Sorry about, text in brackets, the woman who shall not be named, end brackets. She can be a little harsh. I just shrugged. I'd lost steam, and I was at the point where I just wanted everyone out of my house. I wonder if you might... No, sorry, never mind. You're obviously busy. I suppressed the sigh that was desperate to escape. What's up? I asked, my tone light and airy, the opposite of how I felt. I just moved into a new house, like 4 months ago, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but it's haunted. Doesn't sound ridiculous at all, I offered. Tell that to my husband, she said bitterly. He insists that it's all in my head, and he has our son convinced that I'm losing my mind. Sounds like the start of a horror movie, Margot joked. Would you ever consider, I don't want to put you on the spot, and you can totally say no, but would you ever come over and just take a peek? Feeling completely on the spot and unable to say no, I said, sure, no problem. Tomorrow? Sure. She took out her phone. What's your number? I'll text you my address. In a town full of very nice neighborhoods, Cliff Estates is a very, very nice neighborhood. Its quintessential New England streets curve this way and that, meandering beautifully beside gorgeous houses set far back from the street. Perfectly landscaped, its lush front lawns give way to mature landscaping that hides massive yards with pools and sport courts. Jenny's home had recently undergone significant renovation. A New England colonial, it had been altered and given some Cape Cod architectural flair. Black roof shutters, gray shingles, and a curved, crushed seashell driveway, utterly luxurious in its impracticality, all set in a bed of seagrass, hydrangea, and a pretty assortment of pine. The house told me one thing for sure. Jenny Blight was rich, rich. Hi, sorry, my cleaners don't come until tomorrow, so the house is a little... Ugh. She made a noise of discontent. It's beautiful, I assured her. We passed a living room awash in light to our left, and to the right was a dining room whose walls were papered in bright, beautifully colorful floral wallpaper. I followed Jenny into a kitchen of dark green cabinets and butcher block counters that opened to a big family room. Soft gray couch with taupe pillows, rattan coffee table, soft taupe gingham swivel chairs before a huge fieldstone fireplace. Through a grand archway, the space extended to a window-lined enclosed sunroom full of white wicker furniture. I love those shutters, I commented, indicating the white wooden window coverings. Do you? I just asked them to come take them off. They aren't working out the way I hoped. How so? They won't stay shut. I'm forever closing the bottom half, only to find them open the second I turn my back. Huh, I replied, wondering if that was part of the haunting. I didn't know what you wanted, so I DoorDashed. I have lattes with either skim or soy milk, black coffee or iced, decaf and regular, Earl Grey, and hot chocolate. I took in the two filled carriers of Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups. You ordered all of this for me? I can totally order something else, or from someplace else. No, thank you. I'll have the soy latte. I pulled the drink out of the carrier and dumped in two sugar packets. Jenny moved the carriers to the sink and began removing the caps from the cups. So you found a house, she said as she poured out the drinks one by one. We did, actually, I replied, fascinated and a touch disgusted. I felt like I should stop her from wasting all those drinks, but it was so strange. I wasn't quite sure what to say, so I gave her the address of our new house. Oh, I walked through that one at their broker open. Big yard. Are you going to take it down? The house? No, I laughed. I think we're just going to paint. Are you looking for another place? I wondered why she would have taken the time to go to the open house for our new place. Her current home was at least 3 times the size and 3 times the price. She crossed her arms and leaned against the counter. I'd like to move, but my husband won't hear of it. He loves it here. When did you move in? August. I hated it the second we walked through the door. Because of the haunting? No, not at first, no. We bought it a year prior and went through all the renovations, but it's all little stuff. The floors, they pull orange. Do you see it? I looked down at the hard wood. Now that she mentioned it, I actually did see an orange undertone to the stain. I said, "I think it looks nice." I hate it. And I thought it would be good to have a gas fireplace, but it's so phony. I miss wood fires. I made a noncommittal noise. The light fixtures aren't to scale. These look like they belong in some downtown industrial loft. She pointed to the pendants above the island. I asked for soft close cabinets, paid for the upgrade, didn't get it. And look at that crown molding. Again, not to scale. It should be at least an inch thicker. I hear you, but honestly, I wouldn't have noticed any of that unless you pointed it out. Everything is stunning. Ugh, you sound like my husband. But now that I've complained about these things, I feel like every time I bring something up weird that's happened, he thinks I'm lying just to build a case to move again. Did the weird thing start happening right when you moved in? At first, no. It was more of a feeling. There isn't a cozy spot in this entire house. I feel like I can't sit still here, like I just have to pace. Everything is so agitating. I looked around us. The home was beautiful, warm, the definition of cozy. I wanted to pull the Agatha Christie out of my bag and curl up on the couch, and I hadn't sensed anything off, like ghost-wise. She needs to get out more, I thought. Aside from feeling that things are off, what else is going on? She sighed. It's so annoying. No one else has experienced anything, really. I'm the only one. For one thing, stuff doesn't stay how I left it. The shutters, I guessed. Exactly. They will not stay closed. That's creepy, I offered, thinking maybe they were faulty in some way and she was using the idea of a haunting as another dig at the house. I spend half my day reopening those damn things. Well, they're open now, I pointed out. Just wait, she replied knowingly. Okay, what else? Well, we have constant water issues. A pipe burst in the powder room and flooded the basement. I am forever coming home to the faucets running full blast. It happened just yesterday morning. I got back from dropping Teddy off, and the faucet in his bathroom was running. Could he have forgotten to turn it off? She shook her head. The same thing happened in the third floor guest bath. We don't know how long it was running, but it leaked all over the floor and soaked through to the laundry room on the second. We had to have the ceiling ripped out. Ugh, that sucks. And the washing machine, it fills up when we start a new load and then just stops. Have you had it looked at? We replaced it. Is it tripping a fuse? No, she huffed. Sorry, these just sound like annoying house issues. And you did just renovate. Maybe you're working out the kinks? You sound like Charles. Your husband. She nodded. Sorry, I apologized, feeling like a jerk. Look, I can't explain it. There is something here. It watches me and it does things to deliberately screw with me. Don't you see anything or get a vibe? Something? She pleaded, gesturing around us with her hands. I drew in a breath and let go of some of the boundaries I'd put up before answering her. I sensed nothing. I mean, that's not completely true. I could sort of sense what she'd been talking about, the restlessness and agitation, the feeling that we weren't alone. I kind of see what you mean about the vibes being off, I offered. Thank you, right? She moved across the kitchen. Come in here. I followed her to a bookcase and Schumacher wallpaper lined office. Wow, I said involuntarily. Look, see? She pointed to an overturned houseplant before a window that overlooked the backyard. I was just coming in here to see if you could sense it, but look. Oh, does that happen a lot? Things like this happen all the time. Books and frames fall off shelves. The paper began peeling here, see? A loud bang behind me made me nearly jump as high as the tasteful lantern chandelier above the desk. What the hell was that? Jenny stared wide-eyed at a mug on the carpet. That's my coffee cup. Did it fall off the desk? I asked. I knew it was a stupid question. The desk was 6 feet away from where the cup landed. I left it in my bathroom this morning. How? Wait, what are you saying? This is exactly what I'm talking about. Things move by themselves, like they appear in different places. Apportation. What? It's what it's called when something spontaneously disappears from one place and appears in another. You're saying that happens here? Yeah, it just happened with my car keys. I left them on the table in the front hall. I know I did. No doubt about it. But then they weren't there. And I searched and searched. And that night, Charles found them hanging on the bar in his closet. Oh. He called me scatterbrained, she said bitterly. I took in our surroundings, but didn't pick up on anything more than the same restlessness, agitation. But I could definitely understand what Jenny meant by wanting to move, to pace. What about your son, Teddy? He hasn't really experienced anything. I mean, he hasn't slept through the night since we moved in. But then 2 mornings ago, the day before you had that coffee at your little house, when he woke up, his desk had moved. He told me when he came downstairs. I went up to look, and it had. It was across the room, in front of the window. You caught that too, though, right? My little house? Mm-hmm. Noted. I asked, could he have moved it? No, he's only 7, and the thing is massive. It has attached bookshelves. The weirdest thing was that nothing was out of place on the shelves. I just styled them. There were books and some stuffed animals and one of his Minecraft Lego sets. They were all exactly how I'd placed them. Uh-oh. Right? See what I mean? What did your husband say about the bookshelf? He's out of town. Are you going to tell him? Why? So he can just tell me, keep trying, Jenny. We're not moving. Sorry, I said. Though it wasn't my place to apologize for her husband's shittiness. Listen, this is just a guess, but I'm wondering if you have a poltergeist that you maybe might be causing some of this. Unconsciously, of course, but if you're really uncomfortable here, some of this could be an outward manifestation of your discontent. She stared out a large window that overlooked the backyard, seeming to consider the idea. So, it's my fault. No, that's not what I'm saying. Your feelings aren't your fault. You might just have the ability to project them outward. Some people do. When I was little, She stopped abruptly. Do you feel that? Immediately creeped out, I said, what? A tad more sharply than I'd intended. A breeze. She left the office for the kitchen. I followed right behind her. I knew it. Do you see this? The shutters on the porch were all open, and both sets of French doors were wide open to the backyard. Wow, I breathed, joining her in the room. She pulled the doors closed and bolted them. I can't stand being in that backyard, she said, rubbing her arms against the chill. I can't stand it, even for a second. We had a fire pit and spa put in, and I haven't spent more than 2 minutes out there. It's the worst. Just the worst vibes. Does Teddy play out there? I asked, indicating the large wooden playset at the far right corner of the yard, set tastefully into the landscape. She shook her head. He won't. He played for like 15 minutes out there the day we moved in, and he won't go back out. Did he say why? He said he feels like he isn't alone. He heard people. Jeez, I muttered. Voices? Yes, and I guess stomping around. What about your husband? Does he use the spa at least, or do you ever grill? He says the spa doesn't get hot enough, and the gas grill is just for resale. The landscape architect insisted we put it in. Well, I mean, it's an absolutely stunning backyard, I said, taking it in. Jenny shook her head. I'm working with a new landscape architect, and he should be able to rip it all out this April, so at least we'll have a clean slate. Rip it out, I said in disbelief. Yeah, she sighed, moving to push the wooden shutter slats open on the windows to our left. Beyond the sparkling French doors, I was looking at, I mean, conservatively, $250,000 worth of yard work. There was a brick patio and some really, like really nice fieldstone retaining walls. The stonework held the spa and large grill, incorporating them into the design so that your eye moved past them easily. All of it set among plush evergreen shrubs, seagrass, hydrangea, and a mix of birch, pine, and oak trees. The tall ones in the back were obviously original to the property, but there was a gorgeous staggered line of 10-foot-tall trees that did a great job of shielding the yard from the neighbors to the back. God, I'm obsessed with landscaping. Aside from yanking out some scraggly old evergreen shrubs and compulsively planting hydrangeas everywhere I go, I haven't much experience in it. But one of my joys is dissociating on Pinterest by scrolling through images of yards that have been designed so perfectly and so obsessively, but look as though they've just grown up on their own. I get it. It's utter luxury, gross excess, but, you know, it's pretty to look at. What are you planning to do out there instead? I asked Jenny. I think we'll level it, you know, grade the whole thing and just go very minimal. I'm not a violent person, but I felt like slapping her. Well, that's too bad, I said, managing to keep my tone even. Do you think so? I just feel like the yard is so cluttered, busy. No, it's beautiful. Well, we'll see, she replied, flipping the last shutter closed. My eyes landed on the far left corner of the yard. Standing atop exposed rock ledge were two statues, tall ones, probably like 4 feet high. Made of well-weathered gray stone, their faces were smooth, void of features, and they wore full-length hooded robes. By the detail, they were likely antiques and expensive ones at that. The one on the right held its featureless face up to the sky, its hands out before it, palms up, as if it were praying for rain. The one on the left stared down at the ground, its hands held out before it, palms down, as if it were calling something out of the ground. Those are pretty. Are they saints? I think so, but we're just CEO Catholics, so don't quote me on it. What's that? I imagine Jenny and her husband in business attire, sitting in the pews with their laptops on their laps, working on spreadsheets for the church during Mass. CEO, Christmas and Easter only, she explained. Oh, got it. I stepped closer to the doors to get a better look at the statues. Where did you get them? You know, I'm not sure. I think the landscapers may have put them in for us, or actually, they might have been here when we bought the place. I suppressed a sigh. The woman literally didn't give a damn about the opulence surrounding her. I was about to suggest she try therapy and meditation to diffuse the energy I incorrectly suspected she'd been sending out into her environment when I saw two little men step out of the statues. Carbon copies of the statues themselves, the gray men walked forward, their robes swaying gently in the breeze. I gasped and took a step back. What's wrong? I wonder if you could get the landscapers to take those back? The statues? Why? She tilted her head, studying them. I guess they are a little ticky-tack. In the time it took me to glance at Jenny and then back out the window, the little men had closed half the distance between us. Are those doors locked? I asked stupidly. A lock wasn't going to protect us from whatever the hell was out there. Can we talk in the kitchen? Sure. I beat feet out of the enclosed porch into the kitchen, moving to the far side of the island to put as much space as I could between myself and those things. What's wrong? You need to get rid of those statues. Okay. They're real, I said, knowing I sounded crazy, but too terrified to make sense. Jenny went to peer out the window over the sink. I wanted to scream at her to stay away from the window, but knew it was pointless. Are you sure they came from the landscapers? She turned back to look at me. You know, I actually don't know. I feel like they've always just been there. But they couldn't have been because we did so much work in the back. It was down to the dirt for a while, except for the rock ledge, of course. But I can't think of a time when they weren't there. That's kind of weird, though, right? They couldn't have always been there. Ugh, you need to leave that yard alone. Do not, under any circumstances, do any more landscaping out there. I wouldn't even have the lawn mowed this summer. Are you saying the statues are cursed or something? I shook my head. They aren't statues. Oh, God, what are they? Movement beyond the window behind Jenny made me jump. The two little statue men stood shoulder to shoulder atop the gas grill. I couldn't help it. I giggled, then immediately apologized. I don't think they're happy with what you've done on the property. Huh, them and me both, Jenny said bitterly. This is serious, I snapped. You need to just let everything be. Let it settle down. It wasn't that I could hear the little guys, but I knew what they wanted. put out a couple bird feeders. Gross. Birds carry disease. I'm just telling you what they want, I said evenly. Drain that spa. The chlorine smell is toxic to them. If it's toxic to them, shouldn't I just dump more of it into the water? Maybe that would make them go away, she suggested. They can't go away, I said. Fine, so they're the problem then. For sure. Okay, good. Okay, would you tell him? Who? My husband, Charles. I shook my head. No, you should talk to him about it. Ugh, I've tried. He won't believe me, she whined. Honestly, I think if you try making it more comfortable for those things, then you might be able to live comfortably here. They don't want to hurt you. They just want you to stop modifying. With or without those things, I hate it here. Then I don't know what to tell you, I said. She stared out the window in contemplation. Ugh, I could always just burn it down. I laughed and took a nervous sip from my now cold soy latte. Later that afternoon, I was out for a walk around the block with the dogs when I spotted the woman from the PTO coffee, who shall remain unnamed, up ahead on the sidewalk. Yeah, I actually recognized her from her hair. She was headed in the same direction, so she had her back to me. I was stuck. There was no turning the dogs around. I barely had control of them when we were simply moving forward. We were walking twice as fast, so we caught up to her pretty quickly. Hello, I said, as friendly as can be. Hello there, she replied with a tight smile. Are all of these yours? They are. Where were they the other day? I sent them to camp. Must be nice. Can they see ghosts too? She drawled, obviously making fun of me. There was a ghost beside her, an old man watching our interaction. He smiled at me and held up a hand, opening and closing his fingers, miming a mouth, talking away. I hid a smile. See you later. These guys are on a mission. When I finally got back home and had the dogs settled, I thought I deserved a little treat. So I pulled out my Maxwell House International Vanilla Bean Latte Cafe Style Instant Coffee Beverage Mix, not sponsored, made a cup, and curled up on the couch to reread The Mysterious Affair at Styles. So I was feeling nice and cozy when my phone buzzed on the coffee table with an incoming text from Judith. What are the chances of you taking a little trip down to Connecticut? Slim, I typed. We need to clear this place. Feeling snarky, I simply typed back, we? Any sign of that demon? No. Nothing at all? No. A sound file titled Goshen Hillview Academy 2324 came through, but no text. I sent 2 question marks. Sorry, Judith wrote. I was ordering a coffee. That's a recording from last night's investigation. A spike of pure anxiety shot through me. I put my phone down. It began vibrating with an incoming call. Hi. Did you listen to it? Judith asked. No. Well, brace yourself. I'm sorry. I don't want to seem ungrateful. You always show up for me when I need you. I want to help, but I'm just not in a place where I can drop everything and drive down to Connecticut for the day. The kids... That's just it. What is? Your kids. Last night, one of the investigators caught Wellesley on a recording, and then some generic growls, and then... It's the recording I sent. I blew out a breath in frustration. Whatever's on this property is demonic, so it's obviously connected with whatever's in Wellesley. How? I don't know. Look, I got 2 calls just this morning, one from a Reiki healer and another from the neighbor of a woman I helped a couple years ago. They both need help. Something is brewing. Something demonic. Something. We sat in silence for a moment, each lost in our own thoughts. Finally, I said, I just had coffee with a woman who has these creepy saint statues in her yard, but they definitely weren't saintly. There it is again, demonic. No, I thought it felt more elemental. Catholic saints being mimicked. They didn't seem that malevolent. And how was the woman? Malevolent, I acquiesced. Infestation to oppression, Judith said matter-of-factly. And you've had all that alien nonsense popping up. Something's coming. Something's off. If that's true, then what good will playing whack-a-mole do? Probably nothing, for the grand scheme of things. Medium I trust told me she can't see a thing past April. Oh, come on. Judith sighed. All that is neither here nor there. What concerns us right now is what's going on that recording. Listen to it, and then we'll talk. The second she ended the call, I was filled with dread to the point that I feared it was the beginning of a panic attack. I stood and went to the kitchen, made another hot cup of chemicals that tasted like sugar-laced latte, and sat at the island. I scrolled Pinterest, checked my email, looked at my progress on my 2024 Goodreads goal. Finally, I listened to the file. A slight hum of white noise, someone clearing their throat, and then a deep voice I recognized but couldn't place. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak with us? I rolled my eyes as I continued to listen. A growly low voice responded, Wellesley. The voice of the investigator. What is your name? Growling, low, grumbly growls that made my chest tighten. Then the investigator. Give us a sign of your presence. A shuffling noise. Then Judith. That was me. The investigator. Noted. Another shuffling noise, this time sounding closer to the person recording. The investigator. Shit, was that you too? Judith. Nope. Then a sharp voice. Cat! Followed by a gravelly growl of a voice. Cat's cradle will fall. Followed by the investigator asking, How many of you are here with us? The sharp voice again. Many. Then the abrupt ending of the recording. I began typing a response to Judith, then stopped, deleted the words, and started again. As I typed away, Judith's text came through. I'll send you the address. See you tomorrow. As I resalted the front and back doors, I tried to come up with a way to present this whole mess to Chris. Both the fact that a demon in Connecticut had muttered our daughter's name, and that he was going to have to handle both pickup and drop-off the following day. I climbed the stairs to his office on the second floor and sat in a little armchair to wait for him to finish a call. What were you doing in the backyard? He asked when he was done. Nothing. I've been downstairs. Since when? Since I got back from dropping the kids off. I just saw you walk behind the fence through those trees and go behind the garage. Were you looking for something? I shook my head. Sorry. The word came out as a whisper. Chris stood and peered out the back window. I have to go to Connecticut tomorrow, I said. He actually laughed. What? Judith called and asked me to... You said she was at some demon school. Right. It has something to do with what's happening here. I nodded. How? I don't know. Sorry. All right, well, if you have to go, go. Thank you. I'm sorry, it's just for the day. And you promise you'll be home before dark? Promise. Okay. Wait, I have to do pickup and drop off? This has been Ghosts in the Burbs. Good night, sleep tight, and don't forget your nightlight.